I'm JT.
And I'm George.
This is Podferatu. Alrighty, we are here.
Creepazoids.
Creepazoids double feature day.
Double feature day.
So we did this one at the behest of George.
Yes, for multiple reasons. Number one, we are covering two animated spook films. Like, I'm not going to go so far as to call them horror. But
I mean, they're in that realm, horror comedy.
Horror comedies, entry level horror maybe.
Entry level is good,
but animated, and I love animation. I don't know if you knew this about me. All through middle school and high school, my goal was to be an animator.
I did not know that.
Or draw comic books. One of the two.
That was something I always wanted to do. Write comic books.
Write them. Yeah, I always wanted to either draw comic books or be an animator.
Okay.
Obviously, that never happened. It just kind of combines a lot of things that I really love. I love animation. I love spooky shit. And then on top of that, a lot of animated horror tends to have the kids fighting against a supernatural force kind of story. And being a kid of the 80s, I'm drawn to that. Goonies, Monster Squad, Lost Boys, stuff like that. E.T. I've just always been drawn to that sort of setup. And the other thing, when I watch YouTubers and I listen to podcasts or whatever, I don't think many of them cover animated spook films, animated horrors.
Not really. And this is, you know, we're talking about animation in this case. We're not talking about cartoon animation.
Right. This is higher level.
Computer graphic or CGI and maybe some stop motion.
Well, kind of. Is Paranorman is completely stop
motion. All stop motion? Okay. Yeah. That's right, because they have the little thing in the at the end of the credits when they show how Norman was made, which was really cool, by the way. And then,
Monster House.
So, yeah, we're doing Paranorman and Monster House.
So let's start with Monster House.
We'll do
them in a chronological order.
Okay.
So Monster House came out in 2006. This is directed by Gil Keenan, who also, I believe he's the same director who did Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Okay.
Most recently. And I like that. Also has the whole kids, fighting against the supernatural thing. Written by Dan Harmon. For those who don't know, is the creator of the very popular Rick and Morty.
Mm-hmm.
And as well as my favorite comedy series of all time, Community. I love Community. Sarah has watched that series so many times through that she's lost count, but it's definitely in double digits.
Okay.
Like, it just never gets old.
I've actually seen one episode of it.
Really?
Yeah.
It's so great.
Really funny because I teach at a community college. So you would think.
You do teach at a community. I thought you said, I teach it at
community. Oh, no, I teach at a community college. So it's kind of funny that I've never actually watch it.
It's got a pretty decent voice cast.
It does.
We have
Kathleen O'Hara.
Catherine
O'Hara.
Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Cannon. Kevin James. Steve Buscemi.
Nick Cannon was great.
He's funny. That cop is like... Nick Cannon plays a rookie cop that is just way overzealous.
Right.
Like, he wants to arrest the kids. Doesn't he suggest shooting them at one point?
Yeah.
Wants to shoot the kids.
And then at the end when the other cop says, let's go inspect some candy. And let's eat some too.
Right.
Yeah. Let's eat some.
So for those of you who don't know, the basic premise of Monster House, we have our main character, DJ, and his best buddy, Chowder.
Chowder was great.
Chowder's hilarious. Chowder is absolutely hilarious. So the house across the street appears to be haunted. There's the old guy who chases people off the lawn.
The old guy, what's his name again?
Nevercracker.
Nevercracker.
Old man Nevercracker.
Old man Nevercracker.
Played by Steve Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi, which was, again, great.
Yeah, he was fantastic as Nevercracker. Of course, none of the adults believe the kids when they say that the house is haunted, but they have physically seen the lawn eat things.
Yes.
The house is, it's not a, maybe is it, it, the house is haunted.
Oh, yeah.
The kids aren't wrong, but because they're the only ones who believe in it and can do anything about it, they're the only ones willing to do anything about it. Halloween is coming.
Yes.
And they know that the house is going to eat a bunch of kids if they don't stop it before Halloween.
That was actually something I didn't understand about the movie. Because if this neighbor, if this guy's been there for so long, wouldn't everybody by now know not to go near that house?
You would think. But, and the good majority of, like, the kids seem to.
Yeah.
Right? Because we see the little girl on the tricycle. By the way, that was an homage to The Shining.
Yes.
At the beginning.
Yes.
We see her on the tricycle, and she knows just
right.
to stay away. She tries to, like, speed past as quick as possible, but...
But the grass grabs one of her wheels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, that was pretty cool.
Like, that was pretty cool.
If you shot that in a horror movie, like, that would look amazing.
That would be great.
Fast forward, the kids, the neighborhood Girl Scout who was trying to, like, hustle candy.
Yes. Like, was there Girl Scout? No, she was selling for her prep school.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah.
That's what she was trying to set, raise.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of those fundraiser.
That was a great exchange, too, with the babysitter.
She's yes.
Like, oh, babysitter? Yeah. Okay, let's cut the crap.
Right. Parents probably left you,
$40 for emergency money. I wrote you a receipt for $30 and
you pocket
$10. That was great. Yeah, so she's hustling candy, and she goes to the house and almost gets eaten.
Right.
And she gets saved by DJ and Chowder.
Who now both immediately develop crushes.
Yes.
But not to the point where they're like, I was hoping they wouldn't make that part of the story.
Yeah.
Where DJ and Chowder start to like dislike each other.
Right.
And beef.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Chowder did not give a shit about anything but going trick or treating.
That
was all he was upset about.
And I'm glad they didn't do that.
Yeah.
That would have really.
Yeah, especially for what's effectively a kid's movie. The movie's only rated PG.
Right.
So, interesting thing about the rating that I learned. In the line, so Chowder and DJ are now like 24-hour surveillance on the house across the street. This is like right before they meet the Girl Scout, or not the Girl Scout, but the kid from the prep school. So they're not leaving the room, and they're peeing in bottles instead of just taking turns. I don't understand.
Yes.
Sarah was like, "Why don't they just take turns?" It's like, good question.
I don't know.
But they're dumbass kids.
Because think about your middle school self.
Yeah.
When I think about me and my best friend in middle school, that is exactly what we would have done.
Yeah, probably. Some old crazy shit like that. Fast forward, when they do meet her, they come into the room, and of course they don't want to look like gross boys.
Right.
So Chowder pretends that he doesn't know. He's like, DJ?
You're peeing bottles?
All fucking
that
shocked.
Was really
the line
funny.
Was, DJ, you piss in bottles?
Oh,
but
so
they gave it a PG-13 rating
for
over
piss.
For the word piss.
Wow.
So if you watch it, you can still see that Chowder is mouthing the word piss, but they changed it to pee.
Wow.
In order to get it down to a PG
rating.
Have
you, just a really quick sidebar. Have you ever seen the movie This Film Is Not Yet Rated?
It sounds familiar.
It's a documentary, and it's about the MPAA and ratings get done. And it's, like, super secretive. Nobody knows who the people are.
Really?
It's a weird little, like, subculture thing. And the movie is really interesting.
So nobody knows who are the members of the MPAA?
No. I mean, like, the people
cult?
It almost is, like, this weird cult.
And okay, stop talking, because we got to do an episode on that.
Yeah, okay. We got to do that. All right.
All right.
Where were we?
The three kids have now met. And because the prep school kid almost just got eaten by a fucking house, she agrees to, like, try to help. So they figure out that they need to... Actually, they go visit the kid at the arcade.
The smartest person DJ has ever met.
Yeah, they act like he's this god. He's this high school snot-nosed dude voiced by...
Who delivers pizzas.
Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember his name either at the moment.
Okay, but so we know who we're talking about.
Yeah.
He's playing a video game, and they don't want to interrupt him because he's in the game zone.
He once played for 4 days straight with a gallon of chocolate milk and an adult diaper.
This movie had so many great lines. Yeah, so he basically tells them that they need to find the heart.
In my travels to video stores and Comic-Cons, I've heard tales of...
Yeah,
they have to destroy the heart, which they determine is the furnace. Back up a little bit. One of the things that happens is DJ and Chowder are playing basketball, and Chowder's ball goes into Nevercracker's yard.
Right. This is almost at the beginning.
Yeah, and DJ goes to get it, and Nevercracker comes out. He grabs DJ, and he's like basically shaking him and telling him to stay off his lawn. And then he has a heart attack.
Yeah. So Nevercracker has a damn heart attack.
And he gets carted away in an ambulance. And when he does, smoke starts coming out of the chimney of the house.
Yeah.
And that's how they figure out that the furnace must be
the heart.
The heart.
Now, DJ's already, he's scared about the house getting revenge on him for him. Because he thinks he killed Nevercracker.
We think he
killed Nevercracker.
And Chowder points out, no, it's not murder. If it's accidental, it's only manslaughter.
And he's trying to make Chowder. God damn it, Chowder. Chowder's great. I love his character. He wears a little cape the entire movie, which I think is awesome. He is a fucking kid. He's a kid.
Absolutely.
They break into the house, and there's this, like, in the foyer area or whatever, there's this chandelier.
Well, they almost get sucked into the house while they're in the police car. And then they get out of the police car, and the house eats the police car, and then doesn't know they're in it. They're in the house now.
Oh, that's right.
They've gotten out of the car before the house swallowed it. So now it thinks.
But not before the house swallowed both cops.
Yeah. Right.
Because the cops, you know, they don't believe the kids.
Right.
The cops are too lazy to even get out of the car.
Right.
They're like, come here.
I'm calling for backup. There is no backup. It's just us and Judy.
In small town. So, so they end up in the house. I don't remember how they got out of the cop car, but they're in the house.
As it was getting crushed, the back windshield comes out.
Okay.
And they come out through the back.
Okay.
I just watched this last night.
So did I. Okay. So they get out of the car. They're in the house now, and they notice like the chandelier type thing hanging from the ceiling. And the prep school girl, what was her name?
I don't remember.
You just watched this last night.
I know.
Okay, then. All right.
But you didn't remember them getting out of the police car. So.
Yeah, I know. But in any case, she goes, it's like a uvula. And then Chowder goes, so it's
a girl.
And she just looks at him and goes, what?
Everyone has a uvula. I don't. it was funny.
Yeah.
And I got to admit, I was not super looking forward to watching it.
I know you weren't.
But man, it was pretty damn funny.
We were, me and Sarah were kind of taking bets on how this was going to go.
Yeah?
Yeah. Her prediction was that you would dislike Monster House but love Paranorman.
Okay.
I hesitated to respond either way. Because I know you're not...
Jenny!
I know you're not a big fan of animation necessarily.
Holy crap. Do you know who Constance Nevercracker was?
No.
Kathleen Turner.
Shut up.
Yeah.
This is why the characters kind of look like the actors.
Yeah.
This wasn't straight up animation. It was motion capture.
Yeah.
So it was done the same way that like Polar Express was done.
Yeah.
Where for those of you unfamiliar, motion capture, the actors wear these suits and like headgear and these like little sticker dots on their face. And those are actual sensor points. They physically act out the movie on a sound stage, and then those motions are motion captured into a software, and then the animation is put over the motions. That was the same way Polar Express was done. I think the reason Polar Express didn't work is because they made them look real. They attempted to make them look real.
Yeah, this wasn't nearly as creepy as Polar Express was.
Yeah, they leaned into the cartoonish
look. Yeah, Polar Express freaked me the fuck out.
It was. It's very Uncanny Valley.
Yeah.
But in any case, to this day, this remains the only motion capture film with a unique story.
Okay.
That wasn't like a book already or had some other sort of source material.
Okay. Well, so they're in the house, and they, you know, a number of things go wrong.
They're attempting to escape.
Yeah, and I don't remember how they get out of the house.
They
make the house throw up by stimulating the gag reflex. So the house throws them up, and then they come up with a new plan. Their original plan, which I thought was great. was that they made a dummy.
Oh, that's right.
And filled it with bottles of cough syrup because they thought the cough syrup would make the house go to sleep.
Yeah, Chowder's dad works at a pharmacy or is a pharmacist or something.
Yeah.
So they go in and they jack every bottle of cough syrup you can possibly think of. And they make a dummy out of clothes and a vacuum cleaner. And they stuff the bottles into
right.
the dummy. And the hope is that the yeah. house will swallow it, fall asleep. Then they can go in
yeah.
and do what they got to do.
But the cops asleep. Interrupt them, and that's when yeah. the cops get swallowed. And they've right. already put the kids in the car, and the house eats the car, and there we go.
Sorry for the jumping around.
Yes.
But
so...
Yeah.
They're in the house. They get spit out. They make a new plan. No, they don't make a new plan.
Nevercracker
comes back.
This man jacked the ambulance. Clearly stole an ambulance. He's still in his hospital gown.
Is it? Do you think he stole the ambulance?
He was driving it.
Oh, was he?
There ain't nobody else there.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Because yeah, the only door that's open on the van is the driver's side okay. door.
Like so, yeah, he comes talking. Back and he's not dead. He just had right. a heart attack and did not die from it. Right. And, yeah.
We find out now that all of these years, the reason he's been so mean to kids is to kind of scare them away because the house has been eating children.
The house has been eating people, yes.
And on Halloween night, it's basically Golden Corral.
Yeah. And then we find out that the reason the house is like that is because... His wife Constance, who was the giantess at a circus sideshow, and he basically steals her from the circus, and they get married. And as he's building their house, she falls into the open basement foundation, and
yeah, she's being like, there's neighborhood. It's Halloween.
Yeah,
and there's neighborhood kids basically doing Halloween prank stuff.
Yeah,
throwing stuff at her. Throwing eggs.
Yeah, and yeah, she flips.
Yeah, she takes it super personal because that's how she would get treated in the circus.
Right.
They would throw stuff at her, but she doesn't realize that.
Right.
In this particular case, it's just kids. Not that it's okay.
No.
But it's, you know, it's kids and it's Halloween and it's right. part of a celebration. It's not met with right. malice.
So she falls into the basement and gets covered yeah. with a thing of cement. The kids have found her cement covered.
Body.
Basically grave body.
Yeah, she looks like a Han Solo in the carbonite.
Yes, kingdom. Yes. And so it's the house is now imbued with her spirit, and that's why she's angry at everything and everyone and tries to eat everything that comes onto the property. The old man has been basically pacifying her and keeping her at bay.
Right.
And keeping everybody away from the house. Now he realizes that he has no other choice but to destroy it.
And it's breaking his heart, but he knows he has to do what he has to do. So they devise a plan to
try to blow it up.
But the house is too smart.
The house is very smart, and the house basically finally comes up and
up, yeah.
animates and starts
it's
chasing
really
them.
Kind of cool how it happens.
It really too. Is
they have
cool.
these two huge trees on the property
yeah
and she can whatever's on the property she can control
right
so she uses the trees like the top branches like attached to the sides right. of the house and then the roots uproot
right
and those become like feet and it kind of like
and the house
starts walking down yeah. like through the fuck. Nobody sees this.
Just like
huge fucking house.
Just like Charlie Brown. There are no adult right. figures of responsibility anywhere.
It is insane.
Yeah.
So they basically chase the house throughout the entire town, doing everything they possibly can to try to destroy it.
Which, spoilers...
They do.
They finally do.
We won't tell you all the details of how they do.
No.
But,
And then the very end is kids coming up to the smoldering pit where the house used to be.
Right.
And saying trick or treat and getting their shit back.
Getting their shit back.
Or that the house or that Nevercracker has confiscated.
Right. I mean, and it's like a Scrooge McDuck pit
it
of
is,
just
yeah,
child
just
toys.
Toys.
Bicycles, balls, teddy bears, dolls, you name it. Just, it was madness.
So, yeah, I was surprised. I really wasn't super looking forward to going to watching it. But it was cute. It was entertaining. It was surprisingly dark.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah.
It was really fucking sad.
Yeah, really fucking sad.
But it was, yeah, I mean, it held up. I was very, very pleasantly surprised with Monster House.
I'm glad to hear you say
it. I liked the house a lot.
Yeah, the look, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was a lot of fun. It really was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. And for 2006, the motion capture was still fairly new.
It's still pretty, yeah, and it's still pretty good.
Legit, man. It holds up, I think.
And it's funny, because you're mentioning you like these so much because it kind of harkens back to you wanting to be an animator and draw comic books. I had a very similar response, especially to Paranorman, which we'll get to next, because I was a freaking enormous Harryhausen fan as a kid.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
I have Jason and the Argonauts is one of my all-time favorite movies, and I watch it probably every few months.
Yeah, one of mine was Clash of the Titans.
Clash of the Titans, all the Sinbads, Beast of 20 from 20,000 Fathoms, just all the Harryhausen stuff was just, man, I just what a goddamn.
Yeah.
So I was pretty much on board with the stop motion stuff. So yeah. When are we doing skull ratings?
Can do them now, or do you want to do them together at the end?
Well, we can do them as we go. Yeah, I would give Monster House probably a good 3.5.
Okay. That's exactly what I was gonna say.
Okay.
3.5.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love this movie.
Yeah.
I love
this movie. It's a fun movie. I give it a 3.5 because I liked it a lot. I don't know that I would watch it again.
That's fair.
And if I did, it would be quite a while from now.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. But yeah, it was...
I don't know that I would. It was great. If it wasn't because... I've already seen it like maybe three times.
Yeah.
But rewatched it for this just to kind of refresh my memory, and that still didn't help. But yeah.
So
Monster House, great film.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Is it Monster House is PG? Yeah. Because you talk about piss.
Right.
What's Paranorman?
Paranorman is also PG.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Monster House motion capture animation. Paranorman stop motion animation. Just like the old classic Christmas specials from Rankin Bass.
Yes.
Except...
It did kind of have that look to it, didn't it?
Yeah, much more advanced.
Much more advanced.
This came out 6 years after Monster House.
Okay.
In 2012. So, in terms of stop motion, it's... decades far older than motion capture,
see, obviously. Now, here's the thing about stop motion, though, because the stop motion in Paranorman is freaking silky smooth.
Yes.
As opposed to the stop motion in Del Toro's Pinocchio, which is not.
I wonder if that's by design.
It has to be by design, and there's something that adds to Pinocchio.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
To me.
Yeah, yeah.
And that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with Paranorman, because I don't think that would have worked for Paranorman.
Right.
But I don't think it being really, really smooth would have worked for Pinocchio. And I don't know. And I wonder why they made those decisions the way they did. I'd be curious to ask Del Toro that.
Because Nightmare Before Christmas, in terms of how smooth it is, I think Paranorman is probably a bit smoother than Nightmare Before Christmas in terms of the animation. And I know from the DVD special features, Nightmare Before Christmas took almost 7 years to animate.
Wow.
And it's only like an hour and change, not even an hour and 20. But for every second of footage that we see on screen, it was an average of 17 poses per second of film that we see on.
On Nightmare Before
Christmas. So I imagine on this, it's a lot better. But I learned that for this, they had a rig that the camera would move on its own. They didn't have to do it.
Oh, okay.
So they could pose it, the camera would take a picture, move, take a picture, move, take a picture. They had it like on a...
I would think that technology and editing have probably come a long way since Nightmare as well.
Oh, yeah, because Nightmare was early, 91, maybe?
Yeah.
92?
It's interesting how... It's almost, I don't want to say distracting, but it is odd how smooth the animation is.
Yeah.
To me. It's especially beautiful. For stop motion animation.
Yeah.
Because I kind of like the other stuff as well.
Well, this is done by
Leica. Because Coraline was the same way. Coraline
Same
is,
studio.
Yeah. Okay.
Leica.
But Coraline was somewhere between Paranorman and Nightmare in terms of its smoothness.
I think so. And I'm pretty sure that came out well before this.
Oh, yeah. I think. Definitely.
This is directed by Chris Butler, who did Missing Link and Kubo and the Two Strings, which are also like a...
I've not seen Kubo, but I really want to see it.
So you want to talk about smoothness in animation?
Wow.
When this fucker's playing that gut...
Wow.
It is unbelievable because you can, the string vibrates. Like they do a close-up on the string and you can see it. Like,
okay.
It's insane. It's just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Also written by Chris Butler.
So Paranorman... Norman is this kid who can talk to dead people.
Yes.
Or talk to ghosts, basically.
Right. He sees
and talks to ghosts, which is a trait he inherited from his uncle.
From his uncle, who is voiced by John Goodman.
Yes. And this is a long-standing tradition that goes back to the 1600s. I don't want to give that away yet. But... it's basically somebody who Norman is distantly related to, obviously. Mm. An ancestor of Norman's. There's a witch's curse, and that's not why Norman can talk to dead people.
He's just inherited
the trait.
Yeah. He's just born that way.
Yeah. So he talks to his grandmother, who's a ghost.
And his grandma's super cool.
Yeah. And his parents don't believe him.
Right. And nobody believes
that he... Yeah.
Everybody thinks he's, like, weird. His friends, they're not his friends. He gets bullied at school. Everyone picks on him. They call him all kinds of names. He's only got one friend, and it's his buddy Neil. Neil is, he reminds me a lot of Chowder.
He's a lot like Chowder.
Except that Chowder, he plays the more, like, cowardly
role.
Whereas Neil is ride or die. Yes. Okay. Neil is like, what you need, homie? Yes. I'm scared as fuck, but I got you.
Yeah.
And I love that about Neil.
Yeah.
Neil has an older brother named Mitch.
Neil reminds me of, did you see Bolt? It was the movie about the dog? Yeah.
Man, yeah, I don't remember.
Neil reminds me of the hamster in the ball. Yeah. The hamster named Rhino.
Yeah.
I'll go get my ball. And he just goes marching off toward absolute doom. That to me was like Neil.
Yeah, Neil is funny. Neil is brave. He really has Norman's back.
Yeah.
He takes good care of him. His parents tell him, stay away from your creepy uncle.
Yes.
We don't want you anywhere near him. We don't want you turning out like him. They're very... against him having this ability. His dad is a fucking dick. His dad is an asshole. He says some really out-of-pocket shit.
He really does.
The entire fucking movie. Like, parent of the fucking year. Like, what a fuck. Terrible. So, Norman's like, yeah, sure, okay. You know, Norman's clearly, you know, suffering from some depression and kind of going through it because nobody fucking likes him and everybody thinks he's crazy. And he can see ghosts. You know, he can see him, talk to him, you know, on his way to school every morning. There are regulars that he sees every morning, and they know him, and they talk to him. You know, he has relationships with these entities. I think it's after school, maybe. He runs into his uncle out in public, or his uncle tracks him down.
Yes.
And runs into him in public, and he tries to tell him, hey, listen, you're next in line to take over for me. You have to be the one who reads this book gravesite.
Yes.
At the gravesite of the witch.
Right.
Every year. Or she's gonna come fuck shit.
Yeah, she'll come back and she'll bring the dead back.
Right. Which is part of the curse. To keep the witch's curse at bay, this is what needs to be done. Norman, obviously, because what his parents said, he wants no parts of it. He tells Chowder for the first time.
Neil.
He tells Neil that he can see ghosts.
Yes.
Neil asks him, so can you really see? He's like,
oh yeah, because Neil has him. He's talking to Neil's dog.
Yeah.
Like hit by a car or something, and then the dog's ghost comes up, it's cut in half.
Yeah, very cleanly, so it wasn't hit by no car.
And Neil is talking to the dog like he knows where it's at. And he bends over and he's kissing it.
And Norman goes, says,
that's not his head.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. The dog, but that's what I noticed. Like, they said it was hit by a car, but the dog is cut cleanly in half. So I'm sure that part of that was because of like the rating. They couldn't make it look too gruesome.
Yeah.
But then the other part of it, whether it was intentional or not, it makes me think that somebody cut that dog in half.
Somebody cut that dog in
half.
And
lied to fucking Neil about how it died.
The uncle is back at his little, like, weird shack.
He's a pariah, too.
Yeah, yeah. He dies.
Yeah. It's funny because, so he falls, he's got the book in his hand, and he dies. And you see his spirit start to leave his body, but he fights
it.
And
it comes back.
He comes back, and his spirit falls back into him. He's like, no, not yet.
Not yet.
Falls over and actually dies. His spirit completely leaves his body, and he's like, dang.
Yeah. So then he finds Norman at school.
Right. Spirit.
And spirit, so his uncle. Spirit uncle finds Norman at school and tells him, this is, you've got to go get the book and read it. And he tells him where the book is. And Norman goes. And nobody has seen, nobody knows this guy's dead.
Yeah.
There's just a body in a shack.
Right.
So Norman
gets holding tight to the book.
And Norman gets the book. And he figures out, he thinks, where the grave is. He goes and he reads the book. But he's in the wrong spot. So the witch kind of manifests in the clouds up above him, and all these zombies come out of these graves. Was it seven of them?
The seven. Yeah.
The seven, and they were the seven Puritans who judged the witch in the first place.
One of them is the judge.
Yeah.
An actual judge.
And she cursed them all.
Right.
And
which is a really cool scene. That's the way it was animated.
It was a really cool scene, and it was cool how it was animated. Oh, and in the midst of all this is Norman's nemesis, Alvin, the bully, who has followed him to basically pick on Norman and now knows the truth.
Right. And he's voiced by McLovin.
Now he's in it with Norman.
Right.
So it was actually kind of cool.
They do a really, really great job of going against the stereotype with all of these characters.
Yeah.
Like, Norman is clearly really sad and going through a depression, but he's not an emo kid.
Right.
He's a regular fucking kid. Neil, he's a chubby kid, but he's not cowardly.
But he's a little badass.
He's a badass, and he's not all cowardly and scared.
And Alvin, as a bully, comes around pretty fast.
Pretty fast, yeah. He's turns out to be kind of
as
cool
opposed
dude.
To
well, like thinking, when he's breakdancing to try to impress the girls earlier. That shit is so funny, which is why he follows Norman.
Yeah.
He's breakdancing to impress some girls when Norman goes riding by on his bike, and I guess he knocks him over.
Right,
or
something like that.
He embarrasses him.
But I think of the bully from Creepshow 2 that gets eaten by the man-eating plant.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what you expect of bullies, and that's not what Alvin is. Alvin's actually a pretty well-fleshed-out character.
Yeah.
So the zombies are actually now making their way into town, and everybody thinks, you know, zombies, they're gonna eat us, they're gonna kill us.
Right. So they immediately take up arms.
Yeah. So the town goes just like batshit on the zombies. But it turns out the zombies just want the curse lifted.
Right.
They don't want to hurt anybody. They just want the curse lifted. And this was something I had a kind of a minor issue with in terms of the storyline, which is when they go to the flashback and they show you what the judge and the other six people did. Was they basically killed a girl, Norman's ancestor, Agatha, who had the same gift. But she was a kid. She was a little kid.
Yeah.
And they killed her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck you. I'm not lifting no damn curse. Fuck
you. Yeah. I feel you on that. I feel you on that. But at the same time, it would release Agatha.
It would.
Lifting the curse also released her from her pain.
That's true.
And that was necessary. So I think, and I agree with you, if I could have saved Agatha and left them cursed, I probably would have, but I don't think that was an option.
The animation of her as the witch.
With the electricity and stuff. Yeah.
Man, that was awesome.
She looks like Wednesday Addams.
She does.
Which, on one hand, you could say, oh, okay, that was like a nod. But then at the same time, she's like from the late
she's 18. A Puritan.
What she's else a Puritan, would, yeah. So that's what she would have worn anyway. And Wednesday dresses that way.
Which is the other reason they shouldn't have had their curse lifted, because fuck Puritans.
Yeah, that's... So, yeah, fast forward, the curse gets lifted. Paranorman. Norman and Agatha have this really, really cool, like, scene where...
They do.
They have this dialogue between them where they're kind of going back and forth. Because they're the same. You know, they're both these... weird kids that are misunderstood that have these abilities they didn't ask for.
They never make the connection in the movie that she's his ancestor. I mean, I guess they just kind of left it for us to assume. But,
yeah, they did.
But,
I think. But that's how I took it.
But, you know, audiences being what they are, I'm kind of surprised they didn't make it, like, concretely
especially, like,
clear.
Yeah, especially since it is a PG movie, so it's intended for a younger audience.
Anyway. Which is another one of the great parts of this movie. So Norman has an older sister.
Yeah.
And the older sister, because everybody gets involved with this caper. Right. It's Neil and Norman, and then
the older siblings, Mitch
and Courtney.
Courtney.
So they're all involved in this, and Courtney is immediately smitten with Mitch.
Yeah.
And then
he's
a big jock. He's a big dude. He's not a big asshole.
Right. Which
he's okay with his little brother, calls him buddy.
Yeah.
You know,
he's a good big brother.
Yeah.
He's a jock, but he's not dumb.
But at one point near the end, when Courtney is finally hitting on him and he says something about, you know, my boyfriend would really like that.
Yeah.
And this one didn't get a PG-13 for that.
Which I'm glad.
But the other one gets a PG-13 for piss.
That's a good point. Yeah.
And that was back to that documentary we mentioned. That's one of the things they talk about is the wild inconsistencies.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. Another fun fact about this movie, now that we're talking about Mitch, the first openly gay character in an animated movie.
Yeah.
And what I love is not only is he gay, he's also a jock. They are not the stereotypical,
right.
They're not a caricature of a jock. They're not a caricature of a gay guy.
The whole movie plays against stereotypes.
Yeah, you don't think that. First of all, you don't really expect
except that for the ineffective movie. Asshole dad. That is still kind of a stereotype.
Yeah,
but you know, big fat white dude. Who cares?
Right. The animation in this is stunning.
It is the attention stunning.
To detail.
Yeah.
Like, so I read that, you know, at the beginning when Norman is watching that one movie, that's real dumb zombie movie or whatever. So they wanted it to look like it was a really low budget, bad movie he was watching.
Mm-hmm.
The animators were saying that it was very difficult for them. That was actually more difficult for them to do than the actual movie part.
Okay.
Because they had to follow all the rules and techniques of stop motion animation, but still make it look janky.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they said that posed some difficult. Yeah, I love this movie.
I like this one a lot too. Now this one hit me a little differently because again, I went into it thinking I'm super, super excited about this. And in the first 20 minutes, I was like, this is gonna suck. And then it starts to pick up.
Which did you watch first? Monster House or
Paranorman?
This? Oh, you watched this first.
When you're almost through the first act. It starts to just continue to build and build and build and build and build, and it never stops.
Yeah.
And I was, by the time I got to the end of it, I was like, yeah, all right. Yeah, this was, yeah, okay. I dug this.
Yeah, good. I think, and I wonder if it's because it's made for a younger audience that the storytelling in animated films is different.
Yeah, that could be.
Than in others.
And it's another one, though, also super dark.
Really dark.
Super, even darker than Monster
House. Way darker.
Super dark.
Yeah.
I mean, these seven people killed a little kid.
A child.
Yeah. Like, fuck.
And they're like, we thought we were doing the right thing. Fuck you, it's a child. Fuck you.
Fucking Puritans.
Fucking Puritans.
I love this one too. I absolutely love this.
What'd you think of the lady with the face mask on?
Oh my God, she was great.
In the riot.
She was great. Cry havoc and let loose the dogs of war.
Yeah, like, what?
Rip them apart.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was...
This was an angry mob like no other. That one
was
blasting shotgun shells all over the place.
Man. Yeah, there was no Romero shit going on.
No.
But again, they weren't those kind of zombies.
Yeah, they weren't. And that brings a good point. Like, you see a horde of zombies, people run, they get scared.
Yeah.
When the humans realized that they could outnumber the zombies, it was like, ball game, let's fuck them up. They were beaten. And that's another thing. Agatha beats the brakes off of a fucking Norman. I was like, this shit whooping his ass.
She kept bashing him against the tree.
I was like, fuck.
Damn.
Like, how is he surviving this?
Right.
Oh, how about the part with the, like when the zombies are first starting to come into town and the dude's trying to get the bag of chips?
Yeah. That was great. I love all that kind of stuff.
The zombies are slowly approaching. And he's waiting for the coil to drop his chips.
And it just like, keeps going back from the coil to the zombies. To the coil to the zombies.
It was so great. So then, like, he decides to run and say, fuck the chips. But then, like, a second later, you see his arm reach back in, grab the chips, and take off running again. It was so great.
It was good. It was,
Leica Studios did a really
entertaining. This one I probably would watch again.
Yep.
So, skull ratings for Paranorman.
I'm going to give Paranorman a solid 4.2.
I'm going to give it 4. Yeah.
4?
Yeah.
Nice.
I really liked it a lot.
So, I have a question. So, does this open you up to more animated horror in the same vein?
Probably.
Because you've seen Coraline, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you like Coraline.
I love Coraline.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I've ever mentioned disliking any of that kind of stuff.
I guess
it's the stuff that's not really on my radar.
That's fair.
I mean, I was going to see Coraline anyway, just on the strength of Neil Gaiman.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't make them my thing, but I'll probably start going after a few now.
Because you do fuck with anime, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Then let me ask, what's the, besides the obvious difference, where's the line?
What's the obvious difference?
That I think anime is intentionally made for adults.
Oh yeah, that to me is the big difference. Is okay. the anime is going to be gorier. It's going to be bloodier. It's going to be more
Vampire
horror.
B is like, yeah,
more horror oriented. Yeah, I really liked these two a lot. So. Yeah,
cool.
Now what I can't do off the top of my head is think of other titles,
other animated horrors
like these. Yeah.
Okay.
Frankenweenie,
that's great.
Corpse Bride.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Nightmare Before Christmas, which I have seen numerous times, which is funny because I don't like musicals.
Mad God? Like, does that?
I haven't seen
that. Might
Mad
fall.
God.
That one.
That one's pretty.
From my understanding, not made. That's not.
I've heard that. That's.
Animated.
I've heard that. That's actually a pretty rough watch.
In terms of animated, there's not a lot. But there are a lot of PG horrors that are kind of fall under that category.
Yeah, and I think we should take a look sometime, or we should do an episode of
PG horrors,
PG and or PG-13 horrors, because some of them are surprisingly good.
Wendell and Wild, have you seen that yet?
No,
that's a Henry Selick and Jordan Peele.
Okay,
behind that, that was good. That's on Netflix. I enjoyed it. That's not as good as any of these. There's the Addams Family. Animated movie. There's Secret of Nim, which is older, but that's in that.
I loved that Addams Family movie. I know a lot of it got trashed. It got a lot of hate.
Really?
I haven't seen it yet. I loved it. I thought Charlize Theron did a great Morticia voice. I loved it. I really did. I apparently am a bigger fan of this than I realized.
I am very happy to hear that. It's never good when you really love something and you recommend it to somebody and they're like, oh yeah, it was okay.
Yeah, I was worried about recommending Baby Jane to you and Sarah.
But that shit was amazing.
Yeah,
that shit's great. I still walk around quoting that.
Oh, of course. So we will be back next week with who knows what.
Who knows? But it'll be spooky.
It'll be spooky.
Stay creepy, you guys.